out on me. So it's kind of a different way of looking at this message, I guess, but just take your Bibles, go to Psalm 121. I won't have to explain it to you. We're going to look at a quick verse in Isaiah 45:22 here in a second. The first verse should say, "I will lift up mine eyes." Do y'all see that? I hear pages turning. I'll let you get there. This is going to be a very important message. This psalm is called a soldier's psalm. And some people call it a traveler's psalm. There's no mention of any kind of war or conflict. It just has a lot of information in it that would make you think that maybe David was in a period of his life where he was struggling with an enemy and needed God to be his help. So whether you're traveling or whether you're a soldier, you're fighting a spiritual battle. And then I got to really looking at the message and it said like this: it doesn't matter if you're traveling and it doesn't matter if you're a soldier and you're in a war. You're in more danger as a Christian than you would probably ever really know. You're probably in danger on every side as a believer in Jesus Christ, and as dangerous as you would ever know. So this is going to be very, very important to you tonight. So when we get into these scriptures, I want you to really apply them to your life. This is application instead of just hearing. This is important to me because the first verse, when I first started going through the first verse, I was thinking, man, how am I going to get to the verse 2 and verse 3 and 4? Because the first verse was so powerful. Let's look at it, the first two verses together. "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help." The second verse is just a help to that. "My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth." Let's stop for a second. I love the psalmist. I hope it's David. I'm not sure. I love the psalmist here. He's lifting up his eyes and he says, "My help come from the hills." And I think in the song, he kind of corrects himself. I just think that he's looking up. But he says, "My help really doesn't come from the hills. My help comes from the Lord." Amen. I'm looking up, and I think that he's coming from that high place, but literally our help comes from the highest place. Yes, amen me right there. That will work, amen. When you're going through some of the hard places in your life, when the enemy is raging in your life, when the enemy has raged in your life, when the enemy has raided, done away with and left just smoldering in your life. Amen? Remember to look. The Bible is pretty neat. I took that verse, Isaiah 45:22. You don't have to go over there. I'm going to read it to you. But you could make that a life verse, Isaiah 45:22. It's one of the most powerful verses in the Bible. It says, Isaiah 45:22. I'm in Jeremiah. That help. "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." Let me read that again for you real quick. "Look unto me." Is that hard? Is just looking hard? It ain't hard to look. All I got to do is take a look at it. All I got to do is lift it, look, and look at it. That's God says, try, just take a look at me sometimes. Amen? Just look it to me. And be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. And that's kind of what we're going to build on right here. "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth." And I got to thinking about how the enemy works on me personally. I know how he works on you. I made a list, but I'm going to run it backwards. The first thing it does is when you're in pain, When you're in pain, physical pain, spiritual pain, or emotional pain, you might want to write this down, take a note right here. When you get in that pain, what you're going to do, the first thing it's going to say is put your head down. Put your head down. Don't look to God. Listen, I'm telling you something. I'm not the most eloquent person tonight. I'm not giving you these words that are just flowing out. That's fine. I want to tell you the truth. If you ever get to really hurting, you're going to look for everything else but God. Your flesh is going to look to medicate. Your flesh is going to look for some opinion. Your flesh is going to look for somebody to make sense of it all. And I'm just talking to you for being real. The first thing you're going to do is you're going to look down. That means you're not going to look to God. Listen to this. This is what's awesome. It says, look unto the hills. Look unto God that is your help. Lift your head up when you are hurting and look for God to help you. Man, I'm giving you the best I got right there. I'm telling you, when your heart is tore in pieces, when your mind is tore in pieces, when your body is tore in pieces, and it can easily happen. A lot of times we come to church, we go through months and months and months and years of great, oh, I'm doing great, but you can find yourself in a hospital bed tomorrow. You could find yourself in a situation with a diagnosis tomorrow. You could get home tonight and your whole life can change. Your mind could be like, oh my gosh, in a minute you can go from the happiest time in your life to the saddest point in your life and you didn't even know it was coming. Look unto the Lord. Because I'm going to be honest with you. Your whole body is going to say, look down. Your whole body is going to be to look around in this world and get your head. Your chin's going to be touching your chest. Because you're going to say, golly bum, I'm so low. I'm hurting so bad. God says, look unto me. This psalm says, look unto me. Get your head up. The enemy will keep telling you, you're hurting so bad. Don't try to, he can't help you. I'm just thinking of different times in the scriptures. If you ever get in the Bible, you'll understand there was times when the enemy would rage. Hezekiah had several of them. He had one time where it was in his body, and he had one time when it was the enemy. The enemy came in, and it made a great proclamation, and this enemy had destroyed kingdom after kingdom after kingdom. And all of a sudden, they pulled up on his front yard, and they said, you're next. Hezekiah said, oh man, what are we going to do? He heard the proclamation. He said, don't trust in armies. Don't trust in chariots. And he goes, and I hope and pray. Listen to what I'm saying. I hope that you are not going to trust in your God. I hope you don't let Hezekiah, I hope you don't let the preacher, I hope you don't let some spiritual person in your life, when you're hurting so bad, I hope you don't let them get in your ear and say, lift up your head and look to God for the help. Hezekiah, he did it so good. And this is how the enemy works. You know what the enemy did? He said it, and then he wrote it down, and he sent it to him in a letter. And Hezekiah does one of the greatest things in the Bible you'll ever read about. You know what he did? He took that letter, walked into the house of God, rolled it out, laid it on the altar, and said, God, what do you think? What do you think? You know what God said about it? He said, you'll never have to fight this guy. Here in a few days, I'm going to pull him like a fish hook. I'm going to grab his mouth, and I'm going to hook him back to his country, and I'm going to kill him in his country. You'll never see him again. Man, I hope you get a hold of that right there. Some of y'all, right now, you're listening to the enemy. He's telling you all kinds of stuff. You need to roll that thing out before God. And I know this is cliche. I know it. We say it in church. And lay it down before God. Lay it down and give it to him and say, God, it's yours. I'm looking for you to answer. I'm not looking for the answers in myself. I'm not looking for somebody to give me an answer. I want you to help. Man, pain, when you're in real pain, when you're in shame, when you've done something, when you've rightly failed, when you know and the enemy is on your shoulder and in your ear saying, don't do it, you failed God. I don't know, I'll just preach to myself right here. This is how it happens with me. When I've fallen short, when I've said something, when I've done something, when I've acted out of the way, the enemy gets right on me and says, you might as well do not talk to God. Don't talk to him right now. You have failed so bad. The last thing he wants to do is hear from somebody like you. There are good Christians out there who deserve to pray, but not you. Amen? You know, lift your eyes. That's one of the few times. Listen, don't look. Oh, I'm not worried. You lift your eyes. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Listen, when you're hurting the most, when you feel the most shame, you run to your heavenly Father and you look for the help from Him, because guess what? We all needed it. I started thinking about this in the Old Testament. David, he took, what's his name? He took Jonathan's son, Mephibosheth. He took Mephibosheth, who was crippled. Amen. He reached down for Mephibosheth and reached him. He couldn't walk. He dropped him when he was a baby. Amen. Some people, when they were watching him, they were trying to run for his life. And somebody who was supposed to watch over him, dropped him. Amen. Some of y'all can relate to that. Some of y'all got dropped by some people who should have took care of you. They hurt you more than they helped you. Amen. They didn't watch over him. But guess what? He fell and he was crippled in his legs. But God had made a covenant with his daddy through David and Jonathan. So guess what? When David became king, he reached out for him. I'm preaching better than you're letting on right here. I'm going to let this come down. It's going to seep down on you here in a moment. But guess what? Old Mephibosheth sat down there and he was crippled, couldn't walk, and he was a fallen king. Everybody in this room has that in common with him. Amen. We were born under Adam. We are fallen people. We are fallen children of God. We have no way to get up. We have no one to carry us. But then Jesus. Jesus came along and he went down to a place called Lodabar, which is no pastor, reached out for Mephibosheth, brought him up to the king's table. I've preached that here before and I hope you got a hold of it. But when he brought him up there, I'm trying to help somebody right here. When he brought Mephibosheth up to the king's table and sat him there, you know what he was saying? I know you will never be good enough for me, but my table will cover you. Good God. Do y'all need to get a hold of that right there. Golly, I wish y'all would right there. I just wish you would. God knew how you would fail. He knew that you weren't good enough. He knew that, you know what? Mephibosheth is never going to be able to walk for me. He's never going to be able to be what I want him to be. He never will be. Can y'all get a hold of that in your minds? Mephibosheth was crippled. Mephibosheth would never be able to run after day. He would never run. He would never walk. He would never stand. He would never give the attention that he needed from the outward man. Have you ever felt like you've never pleased God? That you have a hard time. Everybody else is just knocking it out of the park. And here you are like, man, I have failed again. I have fell short again. You know what? When King David got when he got run out by his son out of the kingdom, you know what? Mephibosheth wanted to go. He wanted to. The whole kingdom left. Amen? Ziba, his servant, left him there and lied on him. Left him there and lied on him. And he sat there looking like somebody who had betrayed him. And guess what? David came back and said, Ziba came. Everybody else fought. God, I wish y'all could get all that right there. Everybody else followed me. Where were you? You know what he said? I didn't have anybody take me. I couldn't get up. I couldn't go. You know what he said? Ziba loaded up the donkeys and didn't load me up and left. You know what David told him? He said, well, when I met Ziba up there, I made a covenant with him. He's got all your land. He's got all the stuff. And I blessed him. You know what Mephibosheth was sitting there? Hadn't combed his hair, hadn't took a bath, hadn't clipped his nails, hadn't shaved his face, hadn't done anything. Sitting there, he goes, what did you do? He said, I didn't let anybody touch me while you were gone. That's the only thing, God, I wish. That's the only thing I could do. That's the only thing I could do is sit here and be miserable without you. Then the greatest thing he said, you know what he said? I don't want the stuff. He wouldn't mad. God. He wasn't mad at Ziba. He wasn't mad at him. He's like, he can have all that. I want you. When you left, I was thinking about you. Since you're back, I'm with you. I didn't care about the land. I didn't care about the other stuff. You know what I want to do? Here's what I want to do. If you'll roll me right back up under the table. If you'll set me right back up under the table, I'll be fine. He can have all the land. He can have all the king's old stuff. I'll just take what you give me. Man, ain't that something. What did he say? Because listen, there's going to be times when guilt and shame rain down on your life, and the devil's going to be in your ear, and he's going to be screaming. You don't need God. You can't look to him. You can't get him. And you know what you need to do? Lift those eyes. Lift them, lift up and look for the Lord. Look, I know it's hard. I know that's very hard because sometimes we can get in ourselves. I will get myself out of this mess. I'll climb out of this. I'll crawl out of this. No, 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 no. You'll look to God and he will make a way. Amen? He'll make a way. I love this. Keep your head down. God is not wanting to see. He don't want to see you. He don't want to hear from you. He don't want to see your face. That's not true. God is a relationship God. Matter of fact, he doesn't even care about what, he don't care about what you're doing. He's cared about the relationship. The relationship, all your works, you might want to write this down. All the work you do, all the things you do for God are birthed out of a relationship. They're not birthed out of things of look what I'm doing for you, God. You do them because you're in love with God because he was first in love with you. Everything we do in God, everything we do for God is because guess what? He found me when I was spiritually bankrupt. You and me were spiritually bankrupt. There's no way we can get into heaven. There's nothing we can do. And Jesus simply loved us when we were unlovable. Reached down and saved us, called us out of our sin, and then gave us a purpose and a calling. Man, I don't do anything because I am not. You are not. And if you think you are, please stop. If you think you're going to stand there and go, God, look what I did. We're going to stand there and look at God and go, thank you for everything you've done. Thank you for everything you've done. That's going to be us before God. The scripture goes, we will cast our crowns at his feet. You know why? Because we wouldn't have a crown if it wasn't for the king. Amen? So look at that. I want you to get that. I want that to seep into your life. I want you to hear that. When you have guilt, when you have shame, when you have pain, when the enemy is, when your flesh is screaming at the loudest point, you can't go back to God. You can't seek him. You lift your head up and you look at him and you say, Daddy, I love you. Daddy, I miss you. I'm sorry, I've sinned, or sorry, I'm coming back. I'm hurting. I was hurting. God knows you. Listen, you might want to write some of this stuff down. God knows you better than you know you. He designed you in the womb. He made you. He knows every experience you had from your youth until now. He knows everything that made you. He knows everything about you that folded in into your life. And he knows what you need if you will just run to him, if you will cry to him and say, God, here I am. You know me. And I can't get over this verse. I can't get over it because I know where I've been in my life and I know where I've been as a Christian. And there's been so many times as a believer I would fail to look for Jesus because I was hurting so bad or I was so guilty. But I can't get over that. That one with pain was so far down on the list. It was down there like number 4 or 5 on the list. I didn't even want to read it first. But you know what? That is the truth. Most people will quit on God because they've been hurt by the people of God. They've been hurt by somebody who said, I am a part of God's family, and they get hurt so bad that they can never come back to God. I tell you this, look unto God where your help comes from. That wasn't God that hurt you. That was a person. You need to look to God and say, God, I need you. Amen, I need you. I need your help. Man, when I read that this morning, I was sitting at my table and I just started reading over it. I was praying and reading and praying. I kept thinking, my God, it's so simple, Lord. You don't want grand stuff. You don't want me to be a superhero in the faith. All you really want me to do is come to you and fall on my face and say, God, without you, I'm nothing. Without you, I can't do it. I can't walk through this pain. I can't go through this guilt. I can't come out of the shame. I can't. I can't pastor the church. I can't be a leader in the church. I can't do my job. I can't work with others. Without you, I can't. man, you've got to look to God for everything. You don't need to go to God about this. You don't need to go to God now. Oh, it's too early. It's too late. I want to go when the enemy, listen, so let me help you right here. If the enemy is telling you one thing, you know what he is? He is a liar and the father of all lies. So if he's telling you not to come, you know what you should do? Wait a minute. If my enemy, who is the greatest liar and is at war with me, is telling me not to pray, not to seek God, not to praise him, not to get my eyes on him, not to lift up my eyes to the hills and to God where my help comes from, I think I will. I think I will lift my eyes. I think I will look for him to help me. Whew. I know that's hot. Man, I'm being honest with you tonight. If y'all don't need this kind of message tonight, I don't know if you do or not, but I do. I do. And you know what? I need it now. I'll need it tomorrow. I'll need it from a month from now. And there's going to be times when I come in here and for 3 or 4 months at a time, 6 months at a time, a year at a time, we will have the grandest old time there is. We'll have great times and there'll be great things going on. But then there'll be times when we can't even barely walk through that door because we are miserable in our flesh. We are broken people. There'll be sin, there'll be death, there'll be heartache, there will be things that happen, and we'll have to, the devil will fight us tooth and nail where we will try not. We'll think, I'm never going back there. I'm never going to look to God again. And some of y'all are sitting here, you know I'm telling the truth. There's some of you sitting right here, you're amazed, you're a miracle in a seat. You're a miracle in a seat. You're sitting here right now going, there was a time where I thought I'd come back. There's a time where I never thought I'd ever even pray again. There's a time where I never thought I'd be worshiping again. I didn't think I'd ever step in a church. I didn't want to. But look at you now. Got your head lifted up looking unto the Lord for your help. Hey, man, I'm being honest with you. You're going to need this message. You're going to need it time and time again. Look at this, verse 3. This is where you get that soldier. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Thank you, Jesus. When there's things come in your life that'll pull you away from God, he'll let you see it for what it is. He'll make a way of escape. Can I preach that there for a second? He'll make a way of escape, but guess what you got to do? You got to take it pretty quick. Amen? If that temptation comes, that thing comes that you love to do in your flesh, and you see it coming, you got about a heartbeat. You've got a window, a door of opportunity will open up, and you've got to walk out of it right then. You've got to say, all right, that's it, I'm out of here. Because if you don't, you're going to take a path that's going to take you a lot longer than you want to go. Amen? It will. But if you'll trust God, he will keep your feet steady on him. The whole world can shake. The whole world can fall apart. But you'll be standing on Jesus. Is there anybody in here that's still standing for Jesus and you're thinking, man, I don't even know how I made it up to this far. I don't know how I made it to this point. There were things in the last few years that if that had happened without Jesus, I don't even know. I'm just, man, rocking and rocking and rocking. And guess what? Jesus still remains. Amen? He still remains. He keeps us and he will not slumber. God does not sleep. He is wide awake. He's the watch. Let me go back. Let's get that verse 3. I'll calm down a little bit. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. He that keepeth. The keeper, that is a watch. Amen? That is when you go in the Marine Corps, when everybody goes to bed at night, you always have two people that stays awake. That's your watch. Okay, that's your keeper. That's the person that keeps the group. Okay, so if you've got 100 Marines, two of those Marines are going to stay up all night, and they're going to be constantly moving. They'll be constantly moving up and down through the soldier, going constantly. They call them a fire watch. But what you're there for emergency. What you're doing is you're walking in and out and around the perimeter, in and out and around the perimeter. Why? You're always checking on the other Marines to make sure they're not struggling in their sleep. Man, there's some things that could happen in your sleep. Then you're walking on the outside to make sure nothing's coming in. Then you're making sure there's no fire. Because guess what? Without that watch, without that keep, then things can happen in your life without no control. The enemy could come in. A fire could happen. Somebody could die in their sleep. So guess what? You got a fire watch. So guess what? That what he's saying right here is God is God. I hope y'all help me preach right here. God is the one who walks in amongst us. He walks around us and he keeps us. Amen. He will make sure you make it through. He will make sure you make it through that. When you're watching these, when you're reading these Psalms, I want you to realize this. He's not talking about your physical man. He's talking about your soul. Amen. These Psalms are written about your soul. Your soul is going to live forever. Your physical man will not. So God's he's watching over your soul. He's keeping your soul. He's walking in the midst of your soul. My God, that's good. That's good. Amen. Verse 4. Behold, he keepeth Israel, shall neither slumber nor sleep. Under that verse 4 right there, if you're just a nerd person like me, that right there when he says he'll keep Israel, write flock right under that. Flock. Okay, flock. Do y'all know what a flock is? Okay, it's a big group, right? Flock. So he said he's going to keep Israel. He's keeping the flock. He's the shepherd, right? He's the shepherd, so he's going to keep the whole flock. So everybody look at each other and say, man, that's good. I'm glad Jesus is keeping the flock. All right, good. Y'all did it. I can't believe it. All right, watch this. Behold, he keepeth Israel, shall neither slumber or sleep. He keeps the whole flock. Aren't y'all glad of that? I'm glad that he keeps the flock. I want him to keep my church. I want the whole group. I kind of, as a pastor, I got a little bit of kind of feeling how that is. I know the whole group. You know, you're kind of looking over the whole group. I'm the under-shepherd. You're kind of looking over the whole group, right? And that's good. Watch this right here. I love this right here. Verse 5. The Lord is thy keeper. That watch again. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. I read it too fast. Watch this right here. Dorothy, watch this. The Lord is thy keeper. Wait a minute. Let me show you. Verse 4, it says, behold, he that keepeth Israel, right? But in verse 5, it says, the Lord is thy keeper. That's amen stuff. That's hallelujah. That's not amen. That's hallelujah. Amen? God looks over the whole flock, but guess what he also does? Looks over the individual sheep. My God, man, y'all are a tough crowd. Man, I'm glad God loves everybody. I'm glad God blesses everybody. But I'm glad God can walk in my life. I'm glad he keeps Israel. I'm glad he keeps the whole nation that loves him. Every Christian loves him. But I'm glad he can show up in my car. I'm glad he showed up in my house. I'm glad when I'm in my prayer time, he can show up in that. I'm glad when I'm in my pain in my heart, he can show up in that. When I'm in my guilt, he can show up. Hey, I'm here. The shepherd, hey, I've got time for you. I'm a one-on-one God. I can bring in 5,000. Or I can bring in one. Man, ain't you glad? Boy, the sheep. Right under that verse 5, he watch in verse 4, he's watching over the flock. In verse 5, he's watching over the sheep, the one sheep. Thank God. I'm glad he's a flock God, but I'm also glad he's just a one-on-one sheep God. Because I'm that one. Amen. If you, man, I'm telling you right now, if you ever read about sheep, I've done that 23rd Psalm, I've read that, pulled it apart. You got some sheep that are kind and gentle and smart and they keep in order. They're like Charlie, okay, and Debbie. They're, you know, good sheep. Then you get wild sheep, stick their head and everything, always looking for a hole in the fence, always trying to do this, always trying to do them, fighting, you know, that's a me, right? They're always, God's always wrestling them. You belong here, but you're trouble. No. You see it like that? Do you see it? The Lord keeps that sheep too. Man, he'll correct you. Somebody, y'all need to hear this. He'll correct you. He will fix you. He will do things to you. He will hem you in. I don't know what he does to the good sheep. Probably just rewards them over and over and over. But the good, hey, I'm glad he corrects us. Amen. One of the greatest ways I know that God's in my life is not how he blesses me, but how he corrects me. Amen. I didn't know that I had a good father until I got out of the way with God. And the first thing he done, some of y'all are going, how does God punish you? Does he whoop you right away? You know what he does? He gets quiet, like a normal dad. If your dad's quiet, you're in trouble. Amen. If he's real quiet all of a sudden, you're like, oh no. That's what the Heavenly Father does. The first thing he does, he wants you to know, I'm kind of upset with you, so the communication line's broken down because you've done something against my will. I can break you up, but I'm just going to stop talking to you. And if you're a preacher or a minister and you're surviving off of what God is speaking into your life, if he shuts up, it's bad. God, that's good. Let's get these three other verses maybe. Verse 6, the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor moon by the night. You know what he said? God becomes your umbrella. The word if you get the first part of umbrella, umma, you know what that means? A covering or a shade. He says, I become a rock in the middle of the desert that you can get under when you need rest and recovery from being beat down by life. My God, thank you, Jesus. Hey, let me break. Some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Have you ever been outside? I'm Irish-German. That's my background, okay? Irish German background. What that means is white plus white. Okay? That's what it means. It means sunburn. I don't know if I can explain this to you. This means when I go to Florida, everybody else gets sunburned. They come in, look at the tan. I come in, I look like a lobster. I peel, and I go right back to where I was. Does that make sense to you now? Okay, that's who I am, okay? Well, guess what? Here's what I love. When I'm in Florida or Alabama, Alabama's worse a lot of times because it's got all the heat that Florida has but none of the beaches. Where I've gone to Alabama, I know Alabama does have beaches. We'll call it Arkansas. Arkansas falls into that category, but they got mosquitoes too. It's even worse. But ever so often, a cloud will come in front of the sun, and you won't feel the heat for about 20 or 30 minutes. You're sitting there going, man, if that cloud hadn't came over at this point in time, I'd probably pass out. Right? Thank God for that cloud. Well, to a sheep who's in the desert continuously, when the shepherd finds an overlook of rocks, he can put the whole herd up under there and they can all rest from the heat. They can get some recovery from the heat. Praise God. How many times has God become a shade from the enemy from you? The heat has been turned up in your life and you thought you were just going to wilt and pass out. Spirits of you are just going to fall out. But God said, man, I'm going to give you a reprieve. Golly bum, that right there is gold for me. Because how many times, if God had just left you out in that thing, you would have said something or done something and you had ruined it all. But praise God, because the heat got turned down, you survived and everybody else around you. Yeah. Some of that right there, that little nugget I just gave y'all, that'll drip down in your brain pan somewhere about 9:30, 10 o'clock tonight. You'll be sitting there going, oh, yeah. The reason I was going, the hotter you get, the madder you get. Let me give you an illustration. I was supposed to give this illustration. I forgot about it. We went on this long run when I was in boot camp. Right at the end of it's second phase. Boot camp is real low. They keep all your junk down during second phase because that's when you're at the rifle range. They don't want you mad when you're at the rifle range. Make sense? Okay, good. All right. But they took us on this run, and it was like 1,000 degrees that day, and it hadn't been hot all that time. I went in January, February, this early March, so we had one of them spring days that just blew up hot, South Carolina, okay? So we ran for like 4 miles, and as we was coming back, we had to do this thing called the wagon wheel. The wagon wheel is this. You walk in a circle to cool down, and while you're walking, you're kind of sipping water, right? Well, before the run, they ask everybody, did you drink your water? Did you drink your water? And everybody, yeah, we'll drink water. Some people did drink water. Some people didn't drink water, okay? Well, guess what? We're in that wagon wheel. We run 4 or 5 miles. We're in that wagon wheel, and there's two guys in front of me, and they start yelling at each other and getting mad and angry and shut up. And they get in there wanting to fight. And next thing you know, one of them, he falls this way, and the other one falls that way. Just falls flat on the ground, right? So they bring out an emergency thing. They throw them in an ice bucket. It's embarrassing, right? And you look foolish because they got to strip you down and throw you in ice in front of everybody. Okay, anyway. But right before the meltdown really happened, their words changed. They were happy. We were at the end of the run. Everybody made it. Then they started getting angry and abrasive. They wanted to fight each other. And then they just fell out, right? So that heat caused them to get to a place where they normally wouldn't get. Amen? So when God gives us shade from the enemy, God, He'll let you cool down that you don't say things and do things to other people that will hurt you and them. All right, you won't have to wait till 9:30 for that to drip on down. You just got that. Amen? Sometimes you need to ask God, cool me down. God, bring a shade. And it don't matter if it's in the nighttime or the daytime. God, you need to bring the temperature down in this room. Some of y'all need to make that part of your prayer life. God, become a shade to my marriage. Became a shade. I'm a child, and I'm angry with my... Be a shade to me. God, that's good. I'll finish right here in verse 8. The Lord shall preserve thee going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. Let's talk about our soul just for a minute, and I'll close. The Lord shall preserve thy going in, going out, and thy coming in from this time forth. Okay, so when you get saved, when you're coming in and out of life, God's preserving your soul. So no matter what happens in your life, there's a joy and a peace no matter when you don't feel like there's a joy and a peace, it's there. I can't explain it. Get saved, follow Jesus, and it'll be there. It's, God, I thank you, Jesus. It's part of the package. But you won't know the benefits there until you start benefiting from it. Amen? There's a joy and a peace that's unspeakable, and I had no idea. I preached about it for years before I ever had to draw from it. You ever had insurance from your company or a benefit from your company, and you didn't even know it didn't matter until you had to draw from it, okay? So when you got God, when you have Jesus, there is a peace that passes all understanding. There is a joy. That joy is not happiness. Joy won't cause you to laugh and giggle and have fun. Joy will be there and you'll say, I'm miserable, I'm hurting, I'm broken, but for some reason, I know God's good. I know brighter days are coming. I don't know how. My God, I don't know how they're coming. I don't know how they're going to get here. It's cloudy now. Time has slowed down. Things have stopped. Everybody else is going wide open, and I'm dead still. But I have a feeling God's going to open up the clouds, and I'm just going to wait on Him. So we're talking about that in your physical life, but verse 8 also says something greater. For this time forth and even forevermore in your soul, God has given a promise to those that are saved and are His. He ain't just taking care of you here. He's going to take care of you forevermore. That's the way when we stand in places and speak over people who believe in Jesus Christ, our hearts are heavy. We're tied deeply because we love deeply and we have deep relationships, but we will see them again. We will. So when you're walking through those shadows, you remember, this hurts, but I have a promise. That we have an eternal home through Jesus Christ. Let's all stand. I hope this message has helped you tonight. It has helped me. At the very beginning of it, I thought, man, maybe somebody else needs to be preaching this thing.